Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
I'm back. Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley. It has been a minute, and this is kind of an OG episode.
Yeah.
It's just you and me. Alliance Council Secretary Cameron Collins.
That's me. Yep, that's correct. It's just us. Nick is
Lady Gaga.
Dancing with Lady Gaga.
Or as my 1.5-year-old likes to say, Baby Gaga.
Baby Gaga.
No, she doesn't speak yet.
I thought about going to Lady Gaga until I saw the ticket prices. Like, I think it would be a quite enjoyable spectacle, but not at that price point.
She's playing at Tractor Tavern, right?
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah. The tickets at Climate Pledge were over double what they were for Wu-Tang. So I don't think so, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I have yet. I want to go to some shows, man. I had obviously not really a big friend circle down here in San Diego yet, but I'm itching to. You would be proud of me, and so would Nicholas. In the past 2 weeks, I've been doing guitar, picking it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love to hear that.
I'm in the repetition of just finger exercises and just chord changes right now. Not even songs, obviously, anything like that. But just wearing down my fingers and loosening them up. I feel pretty cool.
And I got my bass right here. That sounded terrible because I was palming it with my other hand.
Part of me was like, what if I show everyone how I can play, you know, D, E, A, C, G? Yeah. And then I was like, no, I'm going to sound like a complete idiot.
I will say you do sound like a complete idiot because you missed Counting Crows and Gaslight Anthem playing tonight in San Diego. More importantly, you missed Femi Kuti playing at Solana Beach. Tomorrow, Wiz Khalifa's playing, Beach Boys with John Stamos.
Really? Yeah. That isn't that from season 3 of
yeah, but
Full
he's
House?
He's in the band now. He is. He tours with them. He's full time member. Head wow. PE's coming. I don't know where Murrieta is. Is that somewhere near you?
I think so.
Alabama Shakes is coming. Here's a show I'd actually go to. I mean, Femi Kuti I would absolutely go to, but Nick Waterhouse is coming next week. Sunday. Amazing artist there. So you've got good shows coming through. I'm not a big fan, but King Lizard the Gizzard Wizard or whatever, King Gizzard the Lizard Wizard is going to be there. Whatever that is.
Yeah, I know like one band you've said this whole time.
Gypsy Kings.
That happened to be John Stamos.
Well, Todd Rundgren and Hart are coming. So
okay.
You know Hart, Seattle's own.
Yes. Maybe I can wear my 206 hat and go to the show and they'd spot me. Then we'd become friends.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, that would be pretty
cool. And then I'm more available for the podcast.
Actually, next Thursday, August 14th, Albert Square and Mike Huguenot are coming through there at the Banshee, my homies, Sim Castro, is the Albert Square, and Mike Huguenor of Shinobu and Hard Girls. Those are some good friends of mine. You should definitely go out to that show if you're in San Diego, including
probably sound better than Soft Boys.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They got a pretty good, Jerry Cantrell. Now there's a show you'd like to see. Jerry Cantrell and Sparta at, Observatory North Park in San Diego. That's up your alley next. Saturday, when is that? 16th.
Oh, Randy's birthday is the 15th. We're going into the desert to an Airbnb with a private backyard that has a pool and hot tub. And we are just going to,
that sounds pretty
good, lay on our back. I cannot. We're so pooped. We have a 1.5-year-old and a 5.5-year-old, and it's a lot of energy, and only one of them can communicate. So
are they going with you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, but
well, then it won't
it's,
be.
I mean, huge. When we have nothing else going on, like work, commuting, like going to the store, like we'll go to the store when we're there. But like, it's different when it's a routine going to the store versus we're on vacation.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the only focus is them, it's totally fine. Especially with the pool, like Gracie, like I told her, you know, the whole day, all you have to do is take breaks for food, water, a little bit of shade, sunscreen. The whole day is pool. She's nice. Like,
wah! Nice.
And I'm stoked. You said observatory. Sorry, I dropped my bottle opener.
You gotta open your beer.
It's dark. Yeah, it's dark sky country out there too. So I'll be able to like lay in the hot tub, have a beer, stare at a bajillion stars.
Nice.
And we're next to the mountains.
And then you'll come back for Lewis Black on August 24th. That's some good stand-up. Yes, that is a good Lewis Black impression. It's visual, which doesn't help the audio.
I know. I was like, I don't know how to do his voice, but I know how to do his fingers. All right. Oh, that was so weak.
No, that's because it's a bottle.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Is that a Ronnie? It's
an Elysian. I'm wearing my first season of Pub League, which I miss so dearly.
It is fun.
There's a reason it sells out in 30 minutes. No, it's our Running Rainiers jersey. It's probably my favorite of any jersey now, just the ones I've been a part of.
I had a lot of fun this past week. It's still plop. We're not in the season yet, but I played a lot of midfield, including center mid most of the time, which is not a position I usually play because the last time I played it, I got kicked in the head with the ball and got knocked unconscious. But last season when I got those back-to-back head injuries 2 weeks in a row. But
jeez, Alex rolled on.
I got hit in the head and got a concussion. And then the next week I was at a concert and I got punched in the head and ruptured my eardrum. So it was a rough couple weeks.
I was gonna say, you look great, man. You've died twice apparently since I've last recorded.
No, that was a while ago. That was I don't know, February. No, it must have been March, but May. I don't know. Sometime school was still going on. I was still teaching, but I thought yesterday we had some concussions maybe in the Sounders match. I'm glad that we did not.
A couple times. Yeah. We should get into some soccer. We'll maybe start with some scuttlebutt, but I do want to give a little shout out to one of our valets at the hotel in Bellman, Nick Bello. It was his last day today, voluntarily. He's going to USC, I believe, but he's a soccer player.
Nice.
And he asked, he's like, wait, do you have a podcast? Because he speaks Californian. and I was like, yeah, Sounders Scuttlebutt. He's like, Sounders what? Like scuttlebutt, you know, like maritime water cooler talk, you know, and it's like, okay, well, he might be listening right now. So shout out to you, dude. Good luck in college and keep kicking it.
Cool. And shout out to my uncle Ted, who sadly passed away this week. Big soccer fan, has been to several World Cups. His funeral's tomorrow. Bummer, but he lived a good, 88. He lived a good life. So
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no fun, but hey, you know, if you get to live that long and do all the stuff he did, it's a life well lived.
For sure. All right. Scuttlebutt, what do you got for us? I have done no research.
Oh, sorry. Man. I mean,
obviously it's been a hell of a week.
Sun Heung-min, is that how you say his name? Sun coming from Tottenham to LAFC is going to, I don't think it'll have that much of a change on this year, but I think the haves and have-nots are going to continue in the league, and I question where the Sounders might fall as these big names keep arriving around the league.
Yeah.
But huge signing. I mean, it'll be
Thomas Mueller as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as excited about that signing. I don't think he's not at the same quality.
He's aged
player,
out a bit, yeah. But,
you know, good for Vancouver. They're excited about it. I don't know if they have a big German community there or not. Sounders obviously doing great in Leagues Cup. I think we might know now who they're playing after. Let's see. LA Galaxy is beating Santos 3-0 right now. Mm-hmm. Santos has a red card. Cruz Azul knocked off Colorado in penalties, 5-4. Red Bulls beat Juarez 5-3 in penalties, and Charlotte beat Monterey. So I don't think a lot changed, but let's go up and let's see the standings here, because
I'm looking at it too.
So Galaxy, by winning, hops into the top three. So we're definitely number one. And we will be playing
Galaxy. What are you talking about? Miami and Orlando and Portland.
No, Portland's four. Knocked out because LA's up 3-0 right now.
I'm on the MLS.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have
live standings. Oh, they haven't updated.
Yep. Okay. So LA Galaxy being 3-0 moves up to third, ahead of Orlando, and Portland gets knocked out despite winning their first two games, including didn't they win 5-0 in one of those games? So
was it 5-0 and then 1-0?
Yeah.
And then 1-0.
So
loss.
I'm
just looking at their four against in difference.
Yeah, they tied in the second and the last game and then lost in penalties. So.
Oh, it's tied. Oh man.
Yeah.
So lovely.
Portland had two wins and then drew and didn't make it. So that's how big that Sounders comeback win was last night. But I believe mm-hmm. that means the Sounders will be playing Puebla. Yeah, because Santos didn't really stand a chance to make it up there anyway. So the four that make it through from the other side are Toluca, Pachuca, Tigres, and Puebla. The Sounders will play Puebla and then likely play the winner of, that's kind of a bummer. I think if it works out that way, Tigres versus LA Galaxy, and then, Tigres, Orlando City? Yeah. Whatever. We'll see in a second once they finalize it. But it looks like we're starting out with Puebla, which is a decent, I think, start for us. I'm not too worried about Puebla. Currently sits, I mean, of course, they're only three games in, at 14th in the table in Mexico. Pachuca, who finished second, is actually leading the Apertura with three wins. And then Toluca is sitting in second with two wins and a loss. And Tigres is sitting in third. So you have the top three teams.
Top three in the top three.
That's right. Puebla.
Yeah.
So Puebla, luckily, is who we get to face between those. But then it doesn't get easier, right? Going to have to do some work.
Okay. Look for those top four. Goals 4-6-6-7-6. Goals against 4-4-4-4. Goal differential 2-2-3-2. Yeah. It's.
Whereas
it doesn't matter.
Sounders 11 goals. 4-2 against.
Yeah, say it out loud.
Yeah, 11 goals for, 2 against.
We've given up twice as many goals as Portland, and they're not in it.
That
rubs my nipples.
Portland had one goal against and didn't advance. Imagine that, one goal against and didn't advance. And it's because they lost in penalties. I mean,
and they still had two goals a game.
Yeah. If they had
you'd take that two goals a game and point like what six goals a game.
Yeah. So
against
interesting Leagues Cup. We also got some playoff news. We got all the final dates. Top nine teams in each conference qualify. Decision day is Saturday, October 18th, which of course we already knew, but wild card matches will take place Wednesday, October 22nd. Then Friday, October 24th through Sunday, November 9th, will be round one best of three series. And then the conference semifinals will be the 22nd and 23rd of November. Conference finals will be 29th and 30th of November. And of course, MLS Cup, December 6th. Best of three series will be interesting for sure. And if we were to look at the standings right now, obviously there's a long way to go until we get anywhere, but the Sounders would currently be playing 1 would play 8, 1-2-7-3-6-4-5. Portland. We would be hosting Portland in a 3-game series. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that. I want to see them lose. I don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah. LAFC does have games in hand and a good player coming, so both them and Austin can easily jump ahead of Portland just on, Austin can pull basically even 1 point back. LAFC can blow past all of us if they were to win their 2 games in hand and jump all the way up to four points ahead of us. So Sounders have some work to do to stay in the upper half of the table, which I think they need to do in order to advance further, but San Jose somehow made their way in there. They're 10th, so they only need to get, they're a point behind 9th, and you got to get in that 8-9 spot to get that play-in game.
What's the schedule going to work out like with quarterfinals and league?
Yeah, so pulling up the Sounders schedule right here, because I can show you. Sounders are currently scheduled to host Real Salt Lake on August 30th. But the 29th and the 30th are the semifinals of Leagues Cup. So that game will obviously be rescheduled. Mm-hmm. After that, I don't know if they've announced it. At least I haven't seen the brackets for it, so we'd have to look it up. But we know we go back to league play coming up here on Sunday against LA Galaxy. Are you going to drive up for that?
No. I think next season's going to be the more adventurous season. I think one, just family life, a little more manageable.
Yeah.
New job. This is my first summer at the hotel, and we're one of the more iconic, popular hotels in town. So there's a lot going on, and it's a struggle to watch the game almost live. So to take time away. But that being said, I'll have San Diego, LAFC, and LA Galaxy matches to travel to, and really San Jose if I felt like I wanted to make a weekend of it.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And flying up to Seattle on a Friday night, coming back on a Sunday.
That's
probably what my plans are for next year. Probably more than once for the summer.
Good. Good. We'd love to hear that. So August 19th, 20th are the quarterfinals. So be ready, Sounders fans. That's what we know is coming.
Be ready.
Yeah. Any other news? There's been other league signings. Nothing as big as Sun. Cincinnati signed someone. There was a big trade. Colorado traded Georgie Mihailovic, whatever his name is, their best player, to Toronto. So and they got a good amount of money for him, but let's see here. I did not realize he was an American. That's interesting. But he was born in Jacksonville. So he is now a designated player in Toronto as he gets traded in exchange for up to $9 million plus a sell-on percentage fee.
$9 million.
Yeah. So cash for player trade. So we don't actually call it sold, right? But he's a DP for Toronto. Second highest cash for player amount in league history behind FC Cincinnati, paying Portland $12 million earlier this year. Also, I think that reminds me that one of Portland's star players left the team without permission because he wanted to.
Ooh.
So he was not Santi. I forget his name right now. It's not in front of me. He left the team because he wanted to go to, I think it was a team in Mexico, actually, that he was trying to be sold to. And so he left to go to them or to leave the team. So he did not show up. I don't know if there's been any news since then. Santiago Moreno skips Portland Timbers match. He told GM Ned Grabovoi on Tuesday night that he was leaving as he wants to be transferred to Fluminense in Fluminense in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, one, don't blame him, but two, there's got to be some penalties to that breaching the contract.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And what's interesting, well, basically Fluminense's valuation was too low. They didn't offer enough money, but he said he wants to leave, so he just left. Probably could have helped him out in that game that they ended up getting a red card and then tying. They were up 1-0. They got a red card and then gave up a goal and then didn't advance. So
imagine
a meltdown like that happening. That's got to be pretty frustrating if you're a fan.
It's going to be an awkward locker room right now.
Yeah. Why do people keep leaving? They don't want to be there.
Don't blame them. I think I just want to kind of get to those three League's Cup matches. We should just do like a little roundup.
Yeah.
For the second half of the show, just talking about what the greatest 8 days in Sounders history, 7 days in Sounders history, in terms of just performance and. I don't know. I don't think any of us would have predicted that. So,
yeah,
I'm ready to talk about that.
Yeah, let's check real quick just to see if we have anything in the mailbag that I don't see anything.
And neither of us manage the it's Nick's job to manage the prediction scores.
Yep, I did have the highest score last week. I know that, or last match, not this most recent one, but the one before.
I think I had.
But I think I only had 3 of 5.
I think I've gotten over under for like 4 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. But I think that's about it. I'm pretty sure I'm at the bottom.
I keep missing who scores first because I keep putting Pedro and then they keep not playing Pedro.
Yeah.
The free Pedro. Oh, I don't know. Have you been following the free Pedro movement that we started?
No.
Oh, what I miss? So we all, me and Alex, one of the ultras, along with Dan and the others, but mainly me and Alex, have started this free Pedro hashtag we've been using different places. And I told Pedro about it when I saw him one day at an event, and he was super excited about it. And then now we use it all the time. And when he scored his goal, I hashtagged it free Pedro and he liked it on Instagram. So we're pushing for Pedro to be starting every game. And it's frustrating when he doesn't, because we've seen what he can do out there. Ryan Kent did have a great game, which we'll get to. But mm-hmm. with that injury, perhaps Pedro will be starting now.
Yeah. So anything in the mailbox then?
No, it was just a question about who will be hosting the knockout stages of the League's Cup. There's rules and guidelines around it, and some of it's tournament discretion. So basically, if it's Liga MX versus Liga MX, this is what Muffin Top Motto is talking about, then it's a neutral site, obviously. If it's MLS versus Liga MLX, the MLS site will host. If it's MLS versus MLS, the better seed hosts. Oh, he said he made it up. Well, thanks. Thanks, Tim. We just reported you as if you were an actual news source. Good job.
What would you even think? Reporting Muffin Top Motto. I mean,
great work.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right though.
Yeah, that's what they should.
It sounds reasonable. I mean, duh, it's a neutral site if it's Liga MX, but
yeah, I'm sure we'll know tomorrow once they announce all the games that'll be happening. Oh, the only other
thing I was gonna say, if they want to try to make this a more like reputable tournament, they should have a neutral annual final stadium. Like we Perhaps. Should know where that is, right?
Perhaps. It's but always I think gonna be attendance in the US numbers are already pretty low.
That's fair.
There's, I don't know if you can see it on TV. There's no one at these games.
Yeah.
Season ticket holders opted out. I mean, I was at all three and it was one of the most fun tournaments I've been to in a long time. Last year was fun. This year has been really fun.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a great tournament. I can't say enough about the Sounders playing up to a level. I wish they would score more, but I think Club World Cup helped so much. And I see why this tournament is important to the Sounders as an organization. Because these are the teams you have to beat in order to prove that you're a better league. Now, of course, it's preseason there. I think it's the opposite of the Champions League, where we're in preseason and they're in midseason. So obviously we're going to be better. And that's probably why the MLS has dominated the Mexican teams throughout most of this. But I don't know. A lot of late goals, a lot of excitement. I don't remember a tournament this exciting that included MLS teams for a while.
Humiliación Histórica.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's get to it. All right. Let's
wait, 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 wait. I have one thing to say. One thing to say. Ichiro goes into the Mariners Hall of Fame this weekend. We're celebrating it. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame, but this is the weekend. This is Hall of Fame weekend. So
it's a celebration weekend.
Yep. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. So come say what's up.
Let's begin. That was a reference to the Mariners commercial for goat yoga. No? Anyone?
No.
Anyone? No.
Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
So now that I've explained the goat yoga commercial to Cameron off air, let's begin.
It's very funny. You should go watch goat yoga.
You should go watch goat yoga.
Junior!
Sounders this week have been magnificent. The best I've ever seen them.
It's good news since No Ohio fell apart and we're not getting any players coming in.
Say what now?
The No Ohio deal to bring in a new forward, a new number nine. He decided he didn't want to come to the USA, so we are not getting any new number nines, at least not anytime soon. So it was good to see some good wins.
I guess I didn't know about that. I don't know who that No Ohio.
That's No his name. Ohio, yeah, he's a youth, a Dutch youth international forward who would have been a great addition to the club, and especially when I mean, Usaze had a great tournament, right? This was a coming out tournament for him, but. He's still young, so I don't know if you're relying on him this whole time.
His name is Noah Ohio.
Yeah.
I'm Morgan Montana.
How yeah. I was ready for that stupid Ohio State chant to start happening at the stadium. O-H-I-O.
Or the Noah.
The Noah Ohio. There's not a lot of people more insufferable than Ohio State players and fans.
I don't think I'd want a player with a name that I'd have to make fun of every time I hear it. I don't think I could.
Hey, it's not Jimmy Florida, so.
It's true, but Ohio's not. Someplace, I don't know, I have no idea. Ohio just seems very
beige.
I mean, it seems very beige.
It was a fun week, and starting from the end of the week, my Wednesday, I went down to the Sounders offices and met with the nominating committee for the Sounders Hall of Fame, which is the Circle of Legends. And you know,
Circle of Legends.
Exactly. And there's players from each era there, and me and Lucas, and ownership. And so it was pretty funny sitting in a room and talking to them about who deserves to be in the Sounders Hall of Fame.
Why wasn't this in the Scuttlebutt section of the show?
I don't know. I just remembered it now. So
he's getting hit in the head too much.
Yeah, that's how my Wednesday started, and it ended by going to a Sounders game where the Sounders fell behind and then came back and won, which was fantabulous.
Oh, okay. I'm like, no, they didn't. They, because I was thinking we were going chronologically backwards. In terms of talking about the matches, but you want to go. Should we go backwards? Or
we should go forward. I'm just saying that's where we're at this week. That's how the week ended with
Wednesday.
Three wins in three games. The only team to do it across both leagues. A 9-goal differential? I think that's right.
I left it, but I think you're right.
Because we won 7-0, 2-1, and 2-1. And really should have had more goals than that because there was at least one offsides in that first game that was taken away. Well, yeah, and if we're counting like other should have been goals, it could have been like 46 goal differential. That 7-0 game, at the end of the first half, I said this is one of the most frustrating games I have ever watched in my life.
Because they were playing so well.
And they couldn't score. It was the same shit we've been complaining about. And then they went, you know what? We're going to score some goals.
So how much do you think the delayed re-entry from halftime had to play? Obviously, there's kind of tongue-in-cheek comments from players and coaches and whatnot. But, like,
it's
that would piss me off too, right?
Yeah, and out there Obid said they've done it before. Obid said that when they played last year in Champions League down there, they showed up 15 minutes late for the match. Like, to start the match. They just didn't come out.
Cruises all.
Yeah. So
yeah,
this is like their MO. I guess it's how they try. I mean, to me, it feels like you should just start the game. Unless there's a medical reason for them not to be out there, you start that game, penalize them. They're not on the field. Fuck them. They're not on the field. Why are you not?
Seriously.
Why are you not playing? Like, you know what time it starts. There's not a mistake here. So the fact that they can get away with that is kind of fucked up to me. But,
well, you know, hindsight's 2020. I mean, I love that. That could be the storyline. They did that. And you know what? Fuck this.
Tijuana did it,
though. We were just so pissed. And we won. Yeah. Just not 7 goals in one half.
No.
But what was my title for the show after that match? Rage Against the Machina.
Yeah, I think that's
Machina.
Because
Rage Against the Machina.
We changed it with the historic embarrassing.
I think both are great. But yeah.
what was it? I don't speak the Spanish.
Humiliación histórica.
Yep.
Rage Against the Machina. I like that. I mean, it was very frustrating. And what's funny is I fell asleep after the fourth goal.
We're like, yeah, you can just finish this game, man.
Well, it's funny because I was like, I fell asleep, but it felt like I watched the whole match. So like, I woke up on the couch and just like got into bed. And like, that's my life, right? Once 9 o'clock hits, that's my free time. And I'm already just gassed. So I wake up and I'm at work. I'm like, I don't think I finished the match. So maybe I'll just like look about stats. I mean, it's 4-0. Usually when it's a 3-0, 4-0, 75 minutes left, it usually ends 3-0 or 4-0 or 3-1, 4-1, right? They don't usually score more. The other team throws it all out. So I was about to look, but I mentioned it to you guys, and you're like, what did you say?
I was like, you might want to go back and watch that. The last 15.
Believe me, and report back.
Yeah, Nicholas. Because
did I ever report back? Yeah. I watched it at the end, and I was like, oh, shit. Well, then I got to turn this into my FOMO, stay in a bubble shit.
Yeah.
Now I can't even look up the scores of a game I mostly watched. I have to go home, wait till everything's done, sit down, turn the game back on.
Yeah, because
and boy did I
you got the new goal and the greatest goal in Sounders history after that.
Ooh, I think that's debatable, but it's phenomenal.
I mean, I don't think to me there's not a better goal. There might be more important goals, but there's not a better goal than that.
Oba's got a couple.
He's got the one over John Bush, but I wasn't at that game, so I don't know if I count that one.
I was at that game in that corner. I never sit in that weird little corner.
Yeah, I was in the left of Hawk's Nest. I think I got home from
that's why you're like, oh.
I was watching on TV at that point, but yeah, my intestines had been blocked by popcorn.
I mean, the goalkeeper had the same reaction as Bush did in his, except right. Bush made a Bush face. But
I mean, it was a great goal.
I think I yelled, like, water him. He's planted.
Oba had another one. I mean, Atlanta, the Atlanta goal for Rui, where he kind of deked it to himself, mm-hmm. like it was a hockey play.
Or when he went through like three or four guys, yeah,
exactly.
And then flipped it over a guy's head. Yep. And there's a couple that are,
but to me, there's pretty phenomenal. I mean, but those that are one not, is this is a cross that's... from all the way, hit, volleyed in midair, went all the way, did not hit the back of the net,
hit the post, but yeah,
but it only hit the sides of the net. It never hit the back of the net throughout that entire goal. So that's how crazy that goal is.
Double doink.
It was a fantastic, you just don't see goals like that, but you got to take them. And it obviously, he's been on fire. My favorite is the bench reaction. There was a video camera behind the bench. And so watching the mm-hmm. players' reaction, and they were just like, oh my God, this is insane.
I think especially after six goals, to just see, like, you can be mentally turned off and you're like, let me just try something, but you're still focused on that. You have to be entirely focused to hit that shot. From across,
it's just good to see Alex.
It is one of the greatest goals I've ever seen in Sounders history. That's for sure.
Alex, I feel like has fallen off this year in terms of his ability to cross the ball to dangerous places. Not totally, but he's fallen off from where he usually is at, which I think is one of the reasons we've been seeing KKR in there. But that was fantastic. I mean, there's been some great crosses from him, from Nuhu, and from Ryan Kent lately.
I wonder if, and I'm can't really even reference an individual moment of this for Alex, but I do agree with you. And I feel like when he was really showing off his ability to cross the ball, he might've been a little bit faster.
Could be.
He was always, because I'm not seeing him run by anyone anymore, but his technical ability to kind of interplay and.
I mean, he's a way better player.
But that was a pinpoint pass. Yeah. So he's still got that.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to get to the end line and curl something in from as a cross. You got to get ahead of the defender. And I don't think I've seen him outrun anyone. And that's why Kosa.
I mean,
Rienzi is probably in there a lot more. Also, the turnover, just because it's been 3 matches, 8 days, league match before that, the concussion.
Right.
But he's getting older, which is weird to think.
Yeah.
It's been almost a decade.
But he was our team captain when Christian didn't start the second game. So he clearly
they're the same DNA.
It's leadership role. I mean, to me, it was when Christian was hurt. That's where we saw him kind of fall off a little bit in terms of his play. And he never got that back until this second half of the season. He's gotten the crossing back.
That brotherly connection was the comment. I feel like that we probably mentioned that. It seems familiar when one of them goes down.
But now that he's a leader, I think helping KKR, helping push him forward, I think. But to me, the Club World Cup, the quality of play in the Club World Cup has continued from then till now, where they're now 9 matches undefeated.
Schmetzer said as much, I think. I don't have a direct quote, but was it reflecting on the Club World Cup losses, including facing giants like PSG, Schmetzer described it as a humbling yet instructive experience. He also expressed pride in Jordan Morris's making its return. I was just trying to get a summary of the Club World Cup to Leagues Cup transition, because that, I think, has been the only reason we're seeing this quality of play. I think we played well, but we lost.
Yeah.
Everything.
But it didn't matter. Now, I mean, you saw us play
it up didn't, to opponents. It didn't matter. But, than us. Yes, but you still, they're competitors or athletes or professionals. Yeah. This is a competitive tournament. This isn't a friendly, an exhibition match. This is, they wanted to win and they didn't win, but some of the best teams in the world, literally one of, if not the best team in the world, was in our group. So, but I mean, I don't think you, me, Nick, I don't think anybody would have said, hey, in 1 week, do you think we'll have 9 points?
Yeah, no.
Against three.
I mean, Nick might have, but he's forever the optimist.
I don't know. He is, but Cruz Azul has been a top team. And
I think he picked us.
Or Apertura.
To beat them, though. A little revenge there, right? I don't think any of us would have ever picked us to win that match 7-0 or 8-0 as it should have been, especially after what happened down there. So, I mean, there's probably a little bit of revenge going on from the Sounders, especially because for us, that's the same season. For them, that's last season. Some of their players are gone. They have a new coach. They got rid of their old coach, brought in a different coach because they did not finish as well in the playoffs as they had hoped to. And their coach is a legendary player, but this is his first season as a coach. And listening to Hurt Gomez talk about it, like, this isn't a fireable offense, but it's a wake-up call for him that, like, okay, first off, there's a few pieces missing, and secondly, this team quit on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a tournament where goal differential matters, you don't just lose like that. You know what I mean? Like, you go down 3-0, 4-0, you figure out how to pull a goal back. Whereas, you know, they ended up finishing 12th with 0 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. So they had a total of 4 points because they won both in penalties. So they win that first game, they're through. Mm-hmm. They if they tied, they would have missed by 1 point. Or if they had beat us, I mean, if they tied and won penalties, they potentially, I guess, they would have tied them all. So their goal differential would have knocked them out, but they would have just missed as well. So, like, they were that game away from being close, and maybe they don't struggle as much in later games if they don't get blown out. I mean, for that newspaper coverage to talk about, like, that's the worst loss versus an American team ever for them. They did beat us 11-1 one time, though, in Champions Cup back in, like, 1996 or 7.
Okay, I was like,
it was minor league Sounders. Okay. So I was pushing. I wanted us to get that 11 goals. I was like, let's do this. Let's treat them for how they treated us back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the stats. We had 15 shots. That seems low. Yeah. 10 of them were on target.
Yeah.
But 15 shots seems low.
And we scored 7 goals. I mean, so my dad left before the last 2 goals, so he didn't see them either. He was like you. He just kind of...
No, he stayed awake. He left. I didn't mean to leave. I involuntarily left the match. That's what happened. No, let's see. Let's go through this. Okay, so we had Yamar in the first... Sorry, not in the first. The first goal in the 48th minute. So it's now been 3 solid minutes of steaming since kickoff of them not coming out on time. That's what I'm going with. Albert Rusnak with the assist. This is a classic Yamar goal, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was great to see, too. And the excitement from them, like, this meant something, right? That's the thing is, as much as, you know, people are boycotting the tournament, they think it's a money grab. It's clearly not just a money grab to the players, because when they're out there, like, even the goal when Tijuana took the lead in that third game, 1-0, like, their players were going nuts. Like, this isn't just like, yay, we scored. This is like, holy shit, this is
awesome. Yeah, and I think indicative too that Tijuana was playing the Sounders, who had just beaten Cruz Azul 7-0, just beat Santos Laguna, and it's like, okay, they're there for real. Let's stand up. And then it looked like we were going to do the same thing to them in terms of the style of play. We were owning them, but I'll get there. But sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, and if they had won that game, they would have had to beat us by a lot in order to advance. So they were unlikely to advance because they would have had to beat us like 4-0 or 5-0 or something like that, which wasn't going to happen.
So Yamar scored, and then 2 minutes later, it's Obed Vargas, which was the deflection.
Yeah, it was the deflection.
It was on target. Goal.
Yeah, it was on target.
From Alex Roldan.
Yeah, it was a nice little shot there that, and the goalie just looked at it and did reach for it, I think, but knew that it was done.
And then by this time, Jesus should have already, this should have been his hat trick. Instead, it's just the third goal of the game.
Yeah.
But Jesus gets his from Capitan Christian Roldan.
You could tell that he felt relieved.
Oh my God. It's like the third time we've seen him relieve himself.
I don't know if that's the way we want to put it, but
that's exactly, I did that.
Jesus keeps relieving himself. Well, hopefully he relieves himself again next match, because
Jesus relieved himself.
He missed some
for the third time.
He missed some easy goals later on as well.
He was strucketh down twice, and he arisen for the third time. That Jesus Ferreira.
No, but no, he seriously looked like, oh, thank fucking God. Thanks, Dad. But sorry. No, and I'm happy to see it, because, like, man, that's been, like, up until these last few weeks, that's been our a talking point is, he was signed to score goals.
Yeah.
We aren't scoring goals. Yes, Jordan's hurt. Yes, there's all the other issues, but it's like you've been available and you haven't been scoring goals. Not entirely your fault, but it can't help but not talk about it. That's what I mean. It's like the third time we've seen relieved him be relieved, right? Yeah. Is he's had, he got a goal and then there was nothing. He got another goal. So, but he's, the assists have been there sporadically, but more than goals.
I think it comes down to, though, it's not just that he's getting a goal. It's that there are several opportunities where he feels like, and fans feel like, he should be scoring goals. I mean, we see that.
We just saw that.
Yeah, in the Tijuana game where wide open header and, you know, off the post.
Just let it hit your face. Just let it hit your face.
I mean, it happens. I would have not scored that goal, but I've done worse than that.
You also would not have been on the pitch playing against Tijuana. So.
That's, I mean, that's debatable. I've been working on it. I've been playing well and running a lot. And I still believe that one day I will be on the pitch for the Sounders starting. I think this is still a possibility.
You'll get a one-day contract.
Yeah, I would like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I would love that too. All right, so this is the 58th minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then God, 10 minutes go by, almost 11 actually.
Yeah, it felt weird not scoring any more goals during that 10 minutes.
Yeah. De Rosario, assist from Kent Washington. This was his yellow card, correct? When he did his daddy's move?
Yeah, he did. Which was interesting that he chose this time to do his dad's dance and not when he scored his first MLS goal the week before. Which
that's right, he did score.
Yeah. But
although your first MLS goal might not even be thinking.
Yeah.
At all. Right. And then it's like, okay, I scored. What am I gonna do about
that? He didn't do much of a celebration on that one. But yeah, he did this one for his dad. And so he pulled the jersey over his head.
His face. Yeah.
Over his face, which is a card. Always, I mean, it's a card everywhere.
Do you know the origin or reason why that taking your
it's time jersey wasting. Off? Which
Okay, so pulling it over your face.
Originally it was you can't take it off.
Yeah,
but then people started just pulling it over their face, and part of it is because there's messaging below it. But I just watched a video about Balotelli when he did this years ago, and it was like, okay, you can put a message on your shirt. Like West Ham printed him a shirt with a message that said like, why not me or something like that. Or why always me? I don't know what it was. But because I'm not a boss.
Wasn't that because of racism?
Could be. I don't know enough about
it. I think I remember talking about that or not talking about it. Yeah, but hearing about
but
it.
He was supposed to just pull up over his neck and to his neck and he pulled over his head. So that's always a card.
It's like where they've drawn the line, right? And he happened across it. It's just, we need to draw an arbitrary line here.
You know, it's a card. Everyone knows it's a card. Yeah, this is why it. When it happened,
Manungu, don't do it.
Yeah. Like he knows better. Got excited in the moment, got the red card, didn't end up hurting us. So, you know, water on the bridge. It's not like this is a Georgie problem, right? Which we aren't even talking about that game, but same with Osaze. This is him.
Yeah.
I was hurting his dad. I get it. It was fun. He got a card, but still, he got the goal.
Yes, he did. And then he goes. 7 minutes go by. Pedro de la Vega scores from Jesus Ferreira. I don't remember this goal. I think it's because
he was running left to right across the box. So he got it on the left side, was running to the right and kicked it in. So it's a goal that we've seen the Sounders do. We've seen we saw Georgie's goal the next game like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro's had several goals like this. KKR has had a goal like this.
I don't know if we can go with that nickname or that acronym. It's too close to, once you say K twice, it's like, what's next?
It's an R.
okay.
I mean, I don't know what else to call him because his name's long.
Cosarienzi.
But then that makes him sound like, yeah, he's not Italian though.
I don't think it is. I don't think, yeah.
Hey, Cosarienzi. Hey, and look at the pizza.
Yeah, just Peter, just because you have a mustache doesn't mean you speak Italian.
But yeah, I mean, it was a great goal. It's the kind of goal I think not only have we come to expect from Pedro, but now we see that Schmetzer even talked about having other players come across the box and shoot that shot. And we're seeing other players do it now. So it's you have that lane, might as well shoot.
Yeah, I think these aren't 30, 25 yard shots that I was asking for the last time we recorded, but I was just like anything from relative distance, not inside the box. We need to take them.
Yeah.
And it seemed like we were always trying to just get it within 10 yards of the front of goal on either end, or cross it in for a header, right? And just cause chaos. And that's where it's like, you'll create more space if you show dangerous, like that you're dangerous from other areas. And so, yeah, that was
nice.
Yeah.
Nuhu Tolo, the 88th minute, which beautiful, I thought.
I mean, when follow up the play like that and to be ready, just to have the presence of mind to run towards that box was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing anyone could do. He was all alone with the ball.
I thought you're going to miss for sure.
Oh, you overthink. I mean, most players are going to overthink that. The Sounders traditionally overthink that. We don't hit that in. Mm-hmm. We overthink. I mean, it seems like the easier the goal, the harder it is for the Sounders to make it.
Yeah, I think it's like three players that have that problem. But
yeah.
They happen to be our forwards at times.
They just went final.
They happen to be the ones that need to score.
It's true. LA Galaxy beat Santos Laguna 4-0. On 24 shots, 11 on target. They had 72% of possession, 633 True. Passes to 248 passes for Santos Laguna.
This isn't a game. 27%
of possession, four shots, zero on
they
goal.
They got shots? They could have shot it from anywhere. They could have shot it backwards.
That just means they shot it at the goal. So it looks like, did they get two red cards in that game? They got a red card in the 45th. I think they got another in the 45th plus six. So they did. At halftime, they went down two men just before halftime. So after that, LA kind of let it off the gas. They scored one goal after that because they were up 3-0 at halftime. So,
and it was a third match, I guess. So
yeah, it was not a meaningful match for Santos Laguna. It was.
We scored seven.
It was meaningful for LA. They got through because of it. So,
yeah, two red cards.
Their fans.
Did you say that? I'm sorry.
Yes,
there's like literally two cards in the 45th minute.
Yeah, one's in the 45th plus six, though. So it was the, you know, 6 minute of injury time. And it must have been, we obviously don't have in front of it. It was after a Maya Yoshida goal. LA Galaxy looked good in this tournament. I'm not gonna lie. Like they are enough points back in the MLS that I don't think they're making the playoffs. Cause even if they go undefeated here on out, they would need help based on the only being 10 games left.
God, it's only 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
The MLS Cup is in December and there's 10 games left.
We're 4 months away from MLS Cup and there's 10
games. Our playoffs are a month and a half.
Yeah.
It's like the NBA.
Yeah. So anyway, Nuhu gets his goal. Then what happens?
I mean, the greatest goal in Sounders history from someone bald I know. Literally Pedro Villavega's shot from Alex Roldan's cross is something that I could keep watching. Like highlights from the 2000 or the Super Bowl 48.
Yeah.
Highlights from CCL final in May of 2022. Did I say 2022?
Yeah.
And that goal, those easily things I can rewatch forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Edgar double. It's the Landon Donovan goal in the World Cup. I mean, that's how exciting it is to me. Like, it's unbelievable. We could not believe that.
I'm glad it's him. I'm glad it was him.
Yeah.
Because that's got to be such, especially being his second goal and being healthy for months now and being basically held back, but healthy. And free Pedro. He's free. I think he's free now.
He's so nice. He's free. Like, what a good
guy. He looks like a nice guy. Do you remember the movie Jungle to Jungle?
No.
With Tim Allen and
no, definitely
some kid.
The only Tim Allen movies I've seen are the Santa Claus, I think.
Okay. Well, there's something about Tim Allen's son in that movie, which most people listening to this will know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think you're just you. It reminds me, I don't know, there's just facial features. Doesn't matter. This is going off topic. But you're right. He's just got like just kind of this boyish face. that is just, it seems very genuine. Seems like a very genuine guy. And you've met him. I have not met him, obviously.
Yeah, I've got to meet him a couple of times. He's so nice. Yeah, Galaxy Quest, I'll say I have seen that too. I know the vox for Jungle to Jungle. Here's the thing is it came out when I was a senior in high school.
Too cool for Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah. Got it. Oh man,
Lili but not for Galaxy Quest.
In that. No, Galaxy Quest is Martin Short was in that movie. That's a heck of a movie right there.
It's a real fucking movie.
Oh, I believe you. It's was got it, it's got a Lili total Sobieski of 19% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, I was 18 years old when that movie came out.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. No, that was the icing on the cake for that type of goal with that player. In particular, against that team in this tournament after the Club World Cup,
yeah,
just be like, all right, we're fine. We're fucking fine. Everything is fine. We clearly see how we need to play with these players. It was literally like they just kind of woke up out of some scoreless coma. Like, we get it. Let's go. And they stayed. What was, and we'll get into the other match. It's not really too deep because one less goals. I think, did we score more goals in this game than any team scored between us and our opponents in the next two?
Yeah.
Eight. No, six. Yeah.
Yeah.
2-1, 2-1.
Yeah.
So we won't have to talk too much about the other games other than.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's generally small things to hit, but yeah.
But I think this match was clearly the wake up. That's like, we have the ability, we have the depth, even with injuries, the depth is really showing up. What we were clamoring, what we were so excited for in February just reared its head, finally.
Yeah. Do you think, and so we'll say the second game, 2-1, went over Santos Laguna. We did get a red card in the 74th minute, as we talked about, when Georgie Manugu got his second yellow card for, this one was for celebrating.
He was just talking about his teammate.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was not a yellow card.
He said, Jesus saves.
The first one was not a yellow card. Didn't deserve it. Jesus is not a goalie.
But he,
so he should have said that Andy saves. But, of course, they got a late goal. Too little too late, thankfully. I wonder, do you think the fact that we won so big against Cruz Azul made us take our foot off the gas a little bit? Because I was a little frustrated in that second game. That here we are playing a team that Colorado beat, a lesser team that then suddenly we're struggling to score goals. I mean, Georgie scored his goal, which was fantastic, but the other one was an own goal. We had tons of chances to score. We had five shots on target, 13 total shots. We were outpossessed throughout that entire game. But we were also getting fouled nonstop. They had 22 to our 8. Do you think that we let our foot off the gas a little bit because we were like, oh, we're so good.
Who we were playing is different.
Yeah.
It's hard. Right. You were just saying that they gave up on their coach, right?
Yeah. At least for that game.
When that happens, seven goals happen.
Yeah.
I think we could have had four or five in this match. I mean, you just said, was it five on target,
five shots
13
on target,
total.
Yeah.
We had, yeah, 10 on target and 15 total. That is because there was no one trying to stop us. Really trying. They were just getting in the way. This match seemed more CONCACAF.
Yeah, I could see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Versus the Tijuana match where, yeah, we're down 1-0 on a just a rough turnaround after a missed penalty and we
turned off. We weren't thinking,
yeah,
right?
Which happens a lot with this team, it feels like, late in the first half. And I just felt so bad for Albert. He was clearly upset. Have you heard, I don't know if you've been listening to the episodes, the conversation I had with Albert about the fact that Seattle fans don't like him?
No.
I was talking to him with
the... Did you tell him I like him?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. I was talking
Did
to him...
Did you tell him that his brother followed... Beyond
oh, no,
us
know.
On Twitter,
so
like
cool.
4 years when we had that video come out. No, his dad.
It was his dad, yeah.
His dad.
So, I mean, remember we had listeners from, was it Slovakia? Is that where he's from? Mm-hmm. Which was probably. Well,
born in Czechia. Yeah,
but his dad, Czech Republic, but his dad coaches there still. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, someone said, "Oh, you're my mom's favorite player," and he's like, "Oh, that's good to hear. I thought Seattle fans don't like me." And he wasn't being rude. He was like sincere. He was kind of bummed about it. And we're like, "No, dude." I was like, "Dude,
let's do some."
I said, "Albert, you're our goal and assist king. What are you talking about? Like, we love you, man."
But are we vocal enough about that? And we are.
We are.
Seattleites.
Seattleites. I mean,
can our fans be a little bit more vocal? Can we give you some homework, please?
Is there a song? I mean, Dana holds up an albatross snack sign, like a tuple every match that I've seen. So clearly there's some love, but they never sing him a song.
I think this is the homework, listeners.
Yeah.
Talk to your fellow fans.
Yeah.
What can you do to publicly show appreciation for Albert Rusnak?
Yeah.
Social media, in the stadium, two pulls, chance, get to work.
I mean, I have his jersey. I love it.
He's getting up to, Nico has like, I've saved this team kind of status coming in when he did. Right, where there's been more of an assimilation with Albert and his, but we don't win the CONCACAF final without him. Right?
Yeah.
We don't have an MLS Cup with him.
He That's deserves it, though. Let's get that.
He deserves it, but like, you watch him, I think actually commentary, and not this last match, but the one before, what's his name? Is it Brian Dunseth?
Mm-hmm.
He loves Albert Rusnak, and he actually, his color commentary about his style of play, he only really passes and shoots with the inside of his boot. He never laces it up. He never goes through the ball because he's so technically gifted. That really needs to be focused on. When you hear that, take a moment and actually focus on how Albert plays the game, how he receives a ball and immediately opens up his hips. He's already looking in 180 degrees left and right. Like he's not looking at the ball.
He's the quarterback. Exactly. If you watch him, he's guiding it even when he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah. And of course, he's going to have moments of mistakes. But so is there, I mean, we're not, are we trying to jettison Ryan Kent?
I mean, some people are, but we shouldn't be.
I think it's more the haircut.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing is Rusnak, I mean, this is only, he has more goals than just MLS. So this is just, he has 20 MLS goals for us. In 102 appearances. The Nico had 41 in 191 appearances. So they're essentially on roughly the same pace.
And scoring directly.
Scoring
assist
goals.
Wise.
Yeah,
is that immediately accessible to you right now without wasting people's time?
Let's see if I can pull that up. Let's see. Nico goals. No, I don't have assists ready for here.
Okay.
But I'm sure we could figure that out. But yeah, I mean, assists,
I would bet they're pretty similar.
Pretty
too.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Nico's a different type of player than Rusnak. I also think Nico's had better forwards. Let's be honest.
For sure.
He had more people to feed the ball to. Yeah. We haven't had a number nine the whole time Rusnak has been here.
Nico I guess had Dempsey for a year and a half.
We had injured Rui. But and let's not forget, the numbers weren't coming early on in terms of goals and assists the same way for Rusnak because he was playing out of position so that Nico could play in position.
Yeah, they were on the same team for a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
He was playing out on the wing instead, which is not his natural position. So to me, Rusnak is up there with Nico as Sounders great. Like,
well,
he's
got to
play a lot longer, which I don't know.
Four or five years easily.
You think so?
So what is he, 29, 30?
Oh, he's got to be older than that. He's 31. So,
it's up 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll depend on what the Sounders want to do.
Nico
with
was
DPs.
29, right?
Yeah, when we brought him in because we don't like to bring in players. But Nico is now 36. So he left us in 2023 when he was 33. So, yeah.
With knee problems.
Yeah.
We're not saying anything with.
And he had a couple years in Orlando City. They ended a half year in Houston. And now he's down at Nacional, where he started. He's back at his childhood home, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Before he got sold to Ajax. But yeah, I mean, it was just, I want to look at these numbers real quick before we get out of here because we were talking about outside of, I had to have that WrestleNet conversation with you. People on the podcast have heard me talk about it with Nick. They've heard me talk about it with the Ultras, but you of all people know how important that dude is to the Sounders. The Tijuana game was amazing because even though we were losing, we finished with 26 shots, including 10 on target, 68% possession, 494 passes, they're 250, so almost double, 87% pass accuracy, only 8 fouls, 2 yellow cards, so they're 5, 1 offside, so they're 3, and we had 10 quarters, they had 0. So we literally led every single category and only won 2-1. and needed a late goal from Danny to win it. So I mean, it's pure domination, and we got the win, and that's what matters in the end. But let's make this a little easier on us. Maybe save some of those 7 goals for the games afterwards next time.
I think that rotation had something to do with it. I think there was a little bit more, like, kind of best available for Cruz Azul, just based on stature, not even hindsight, just like Cruz Azul.
Although we didn't start that was a late sub in for Pedro, wasn't it? He didn't start that game, I believe.
No, but I mean, you still have to. I mean, that's part of the consideration. But he's also been not starting every single match. You were just saying he had the free Pedro, so like, not surprising he started on the bench, knowing he's probably going to start on Sunday, which he did, and then come off the bench. So, but I think that generally it was best 11 heavy, with a few subs planned. Versus Wednesday, versus certainly when you had the goal differential that we had coming into this match, and a match coming up that's a league match, an MLS Cup match, or an MLS match this weekend.
Yeah,
you have to think about that. It's like, there's pretty much no shot that we're going to be booted out of the quarterfinals, but let's still fight. And 26 shots, they certainly fucking did. Which I think is like what I'm very excited about is that.
Oh, we lost that game. Really, we were out. No, if we lost that game, we were out. And if we had tied, potentially could have been out. So, like,
we were out?
Yeah.
Because when they're live during the match, they're saying it would take a big loss for us to be out.
No, there was a
point.
The
way the cookie crumbled.
When we were down 1-0, there was a point in that match where we were under the line.
No shit.
Yeah, they showed it live on the big screen. Because when they showed us back in first place after we scored that Muzowski goal, the entire crowd went nuts. So people were paying attention to that.
For that game, I was certainly not watching live. That was hours later. And so I had no context other than the commentary, which was like, Sounders are fine. They could score 0 goals. And the other, well, I'm glad.
Well, to answer your question earlier, assists, Nico had 58 MLS assists, 7 playoff assists, and 5 CONCACAF Champions Cup assists and 1 League Cup assist, which I don't know if that was with us. I can't. Yeah, he played in 1 for us, I believe, and 1 Open Cup assist. So 65-ish. Albert has had 24 assists, so a slightly lower rate there for us. Yeah, 34 and 24. 34 goals, 24 assists. Okay. So yeah, I mean, he's at a slightly lesser rate, but he also was playing in a different position for the first year and a half that he was on our team. So, but I think stats wise, they're a pretty comparable player, not play wise, stats wise. But Sounders get through in a wild Tijuana match that felt worrisome but good, to come back from behind and to have Muzowski score that goal. I think felt good for him because he's been struggling a little bit, not every game, but. I mean, Osaze got the start over him. Because Osaze has been showing up and scored again on a beautiful assist from Ryan.
Dude, can we talk about him for like a minute?
Yeah.
We got to talk about
hamstring injuries as well. But
do we have to? I mean, we've been talking about those when did the Sounders come to the MLS?
Well, Russ and Kent both injured their hamstrings and are getting MRIs. So we'll know more on Friday after training. So tomorrow, we're recording Thursday night. So we may be down both our attacking mid and our sometimes starting left mid.
Against a team that's had a really good League's Cup run.
Pant still especially dominant.
Yeah, I'm sure they want to at least make a strong attempt to get back into the playoff conversation this weekend. But all right, well, how about listeners? Why don't you tell us how hamstrings are doing.
I mean, a day or two. Here, LA Galaxy has 11 games left, and if they won all of those and every other, and San Diego, every team in front of them lost, they would be in first place. So they have, I don't think.
Wouldn't that be the case with any team?
Yeah, but I mean, they have to, but they have 16 points on the season. They have 3 wins. So
that's pretty bad.
If they won out, I mean, they would need a lot of help to make the playoffs at this point, because they're 14 points behind Colorado.
For Major League Soccer, soccer.com is a weird league.
Yeah.
It can happen.
It can. You have some of those teams near 7th, 8th, 9th start losing matches, especially Colorado after selling Mailovic. However you say his name? Never can say it right. Yeah, that changes.
Yeah, Colorado's got 8 wins. Galaxy has 3.
Yep.
From 9th to bottom, right? So anything can happen.
But Ryan Kent, we saw some good stuff from him that I think we've been waiting for. You know, he came out, I think, initially hot and then seemed to struggle a bit.
I think it's my Wikipedia degree in psychology. He came out hot because kind of like maybe a talented rookie in baseball, right? Oh, you got some hits. You got a home run even in your first couple games. But then they figure you out. I think he came in hot because he knew he's talented, right? He's championship, borderline Premier League level talent, right? And he probably can't. And then he had results right away. He's like, look, see, I got you. I can go. I can run by. I can duke anybody, right? And then I think they just figured him out and shut him down. And he was also shooting himself in the foot, kind of quite literally, multiple times, just trying to over dribble.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of one-on-ones where he was losing, which I think is also why Georgie fell out a little bit of favor for down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it's overconfidence.
Yeah.
I think it's overconfidence. It's overfeed, and then you'll make them overconfident. And I do think he has the skill set to be as good as he's trying to be. I think these 3 matches is when he's realized he's how to be cohesive with the rest of the team.
Oh, and you saw him take a ton of fouls. You saw him mm-hmm. dive at the right time when he would get hit, and he probably didn't need to go down, but would. I mean, he knows how to draw fouls, and I mean, it was huge. And that's something we see Georgie do too when he was on the right before.
And I think that's particularly against Liga MX teams.
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit taste of your own medicine kind of thing. Yeah. Like you're going to come and try to pull one over on the ref on us. And it's like, no, we're going to play your own game too and just outplay you. And I think that's why every single team we played was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I also wonder how much is the fact that he didn't get minutes that is affecting him too, coming in where I don't know if it was him expecting to get minutes and then not, but I do wonder sometimes about how minutes are given to players on our club and how much, cause we're not seeing practice all the time. Right. And so how much is reliant on practice versus you'll see someone out there and they'll play great. And then suddenly they're not getting minutes anymore. And then when they get back out there, they're not playing as well because they aren't getting the minutes that they've been getting. And so I don't know if that's something about our team, but it seems like it's a nice close locker room. So that's good.
So what would you think is your for wingers, right? Who are our wingers? We have Ferreira, Pedro de la Vega, Ryan Kent,
Rothrock. I mean, that's Rothrock. Right now. Four. I mean, I'm putting Kent on the right and Pedro on the left as my starters with Rothrock.
Kent on the
right. Yeah.
Has he played on the right?
Yeah. Yeah. He largely plays on the left now. But
I don't think I've ever seen him on the right.
Yeah, he played on the right.
I fall asleep a lot. Early
on. He moves into the middle of the field a lot, too, when he's on the field. But he's been on the left exclusively down the stretch here. I just don't – we have 3 – and we've seen Rothrock do it, too. We have 3 left midfielders that could start for our team.
And only one of them can hit the shot that Pedro de la Vega hit, so he gets the left wing.
And to me, that's it. I mean, you can play Pedro at center attacking mid or right mid, and he will be successful. But you put him on the left, he's going to be dominant. And that's why I think you have to put him there. It's not like there's a small drop off.
So you think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
To me, the man that needs to be left out right now is Jesus. He's getting a lot more minutes. I mean, he must be incredible in practice, and he must do things that we don't see as casual fans. I mean, we're not casual, but you know what I mean? Like, as non-soccer, like, statistic people. Because, I mean, he's good, but I don't see him as better than Pedro or Rothrock. So perhaps he provides a leadership that we need on the field. If he could figure it out at center attacking mid, I could see him being there more, especially if this Rusnak injury is there. We don't know how bad the hamstring is, but
throwing that out the window.
To me, Jesus is the one that you
odd man out.
I think you got to start Pedro and Rothrock in these matches every game.
I think Rothrock's blue collar is what Brian starts him for. I think Kent was brought in for a specific reason, and to not play him or give him the opportunities, and why I think he was so heavily involved early, especially he produced for a couple of matches, but then was still on the pitch for a number of minutes when it's clearly kind of fucking shit up.
They also said he was tired. So I wonder how much, cause he hadn't been playing. Right. So, he's played, maybe he just moves over to the other side. It looks like he's played largely left midfield for us. So,
well, that's why I can't even remember on the right. But Jesus, on the other hand, I think
we were playing Pedro on the right, and we were playing him and Kent on the left is what we were doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we were. Because once Pedro, I think, got on the left, which has been when Ryan Kent's not playing in this tournament, he's been fucking awesome.
Yeah. He has 15 appearances, 1.73 points per game. It says he has 3 assists, Ryan Kent.
I think 2 of them when he in his first couple of matches.
Yeah, 2 assists against St. Louis and 1 against Houston. So in his third and fourth match. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's been on the left every time.
So let me say one thing.
Yeah,
I think Jesus is getting the minutes because I think he is actually probably the best for the midfield support. Hmm. Actual passing and technical ability with the ball at his feet. He's been frustrating at finishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen him turn the ball over I haven't been frustrated with him turning the ball over.
No, I don't think so.
And when he's playing with the midfield, we were just watching that for these 3 matches when he's been in. Every player was playing phenomenally well. I mean, our passing accuracy and we just owned felt like every minute. But I think that's probably why he's getting his minutes. It's got to be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be devil's advocate.
No,
to hit odd man out.
He is obviously doing something out there that the team feels like he should be out there. But, you know, looking at MLS play, I'm just trying to pull it up here. I pulled up playoffs on accident, but because he has
playoffs.
1 goal and 1 assist. But this year for MLS, he's got 22 appearances, 3 goals and 4 assists. Like, that is production. It's not the production we expected from him, but
doesn't he have 50 goals in MLS?
In MLS? Oh yeah, more than that. He had 55 in Dallas.
55? Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
It seemed like he had 70.
Yeah. Well, he also had 33 assists. So he's got 59 goals and 40 assists in the 2 clubs, but he's played right winger in 8 matches, center forward in 7, second striker in 2, left winger in 1, and attacking
that doesn't help
in 1. So
that doesn't help your consistency either.
Yeah, right. But at right winger, he has 2 goals and an assist. At center forward, he has 1 goal. At left winger, he has 1 assist. And at attacking midfield, he has 2 assists. So we're seeing him all over the place. And I don't even know. What is SS? Second striker. Okay. I was like...
You're saying they're like right winger and SS.
Sounders.
It's getting weird.
I mean, but we've seen him be on the right wing since my birthday, essentially, since the day after, June 28th. He's been on the right wing every match. So it seems like that's kind of where they settled with him. I think maybe with the Osaze being able to come on as a sub, they're not having to play him at forward. And Danny finished struggling. He had that struggle where he had 11 games without a goal, but he's come back and started scoring again. So,
well, he struggled, then had like 5 in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And then struggled again.
And then he had 11 or 12 without a goal.
How many players do we have on this team that did really good for a couple of matches, sucked for most of them, did really good again?
Yeah. I mean, I think like that's
Ryan Kent's doing that. Hayes is doing
it's
that.
It's the nature of playing, right? You're not going to consistently. It's not everyone's Rui Diaz who's just going to be good every game. Christian is the only one. Christian had a couple bad games this year, but otherwise has been pretty solid.
Christian's had a couple bad games ever.
Yeah. I mean,
like, honestly,
he's always pretty solid. So we can, I mean, that's what I was thinking about. Like who is the best player on the field against Tijuana is Christian. Like not in that game, but just overall, that's the player you have to have out there every game.
Yeah, I'm so glad he's back in the middle.
Yeah.
And not on the right. It's where he belongs.
Yeah.
Totally. Especially with this club, not just as a player, but with this club. What his leadership. I mean, yeah. Anyway, Rosario, I was pleasantly surprised by both his speed and his technical ability. I thought he was just like a physical young, like, wow, he's young and he looks like he's an Adonis. Like, you know, he does not look his age. How old is he? 21?
Yeah, he was born in 2001, so he's 24.
Okay, wow, he's 24. Okay, no, he looks like an adult male then.
I mean, he was playing in, we got him from York United FC in the Canadian Premier League.
Oh,
And he, you know, it's interesting, he has 7 or 5 goals and 7 appearances for Guyana. So, even though he's born in San Jose,
grandma must be there.
His dad is Canadian, of course. But, you know, he's got 8 appearances for the Sounders, 2 goals. He had 23 for Tacoma Defiance, 10 goals. I guess he has 9 appearances because he did have 1 where he got loaned up before he got signed. And he also had 14 goals and 27 appearances when he was actually on the Defiance. So he's got 24 goals in 50 appearances.
Did you see the replay of his almost assist?
I don't think so.
Against Tijuana?
Oh, you mean when he dribbled
the fuck out of like, yeah.
I thought that was an accident until I watched it the 3rd or 4th time.
No, he put power behind that. Like, yeah. that's not trying to just turn.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that was great.
But I am so bummed for him because I'm like, what a start to your career.
Yeah.
Well, with the Sounders. Like, because that would have been the most impressive sequence I've ever seen from someone that I would never expect to do anything.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, he's not our starting forward.
And he's not fancy like that, right? Like, you're not expecting that kind of
career. These last couple matches, I've been like, whoa, dude.
That's what Schmetzer called it, a coming out party. You know, it was interesting. I'm curious. I'd love to see in our Discord what our listeners think, because I know one of our ultras, Alex Diaz, was pretty critical of him in the first half. But I also think when you're watching on TV, perhaps you don't see his movement and some of the other stuff he's doing. So I'd love to know what anyone who was at the match thought about it and what he was doing. Because, I mean, he wasn't scoring yet, but we were still goal dangerous.
It felt like there was the defense was reacting to something that was in the offensive third in the center of the field. Like a forward. Like it felt like there was attention being paid to a single player on our team that was occupying the center forward spot. It felt like the wings got freer because he got the ball and he was able to control it. He got the ball, he was able to go by people. He was able to make runs where it broke through a line and the pass was there. It was like, you look like a center forward. That is just all. He looked like Jordan Morris 6 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Osaze had a hat trick against Barbados last November in the CONCACAF Nations League play-in match. That's pretty cool. Pretty, pretty cool. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think he's won the starting job by any means, but if he continues to develop at the current rate, I mean, he could be a better than serviceable forward in the MLS.
For sure. For sure. I'm just happy we have now some solid competition up there on our roster, right? When Jordan Morse is healthy, Mazowski has shown that he can score consistently. It's just, when are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. And now we got this younger side. I didn't know he was 24. It kind of changes a little bit about what I thought about his, at least physique, but he's a grown-ass man. But he played well in these last few matches, and the whole effing team has as well. So I'm pretty excited moving forward. What do you think about LA?
Going to be rough. You know, they're on fire, especially after they win today. Especially because there's 3 weeks until we, or 2 weeks until we play that in the quarterfinals of the League's Cup. So there's no reason to sit anybody. I don't know enough about their matches to know how much rotation they were doing. I do know we saw Gabriel Peck out there some, and we saw Pansil just dominating. So it's always going to be, it's, you know, they're a tough team. Should we beat them? Yes, but they're not the same team they were earlier this season.
Well, they also just played tonight.
Yeah.
But right, and it's Thursday.
So Friday, Saturday, so 3 days. So yeah, they we may see some.
I think a day makes a difference when it's within a week.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So we may see some rotation from them then, which could be good for us for sure. Yeah,
they might be confident that they could go forward in this tournament and be like, we're at the bottom in MLS. What if we just take this opportunity by the horns? And
I mean, it's a chance for them to get into Champions League, right? I mean,
exactly.
So they started.
They're not going to get Supporter Shield.
Paintsil started. Marco Roy started. Gabriel Peck started. Fagundes started. So they had a good squad out there. Let's see real quick about their other matches in this tournament. Who else did they play against? They tied. No, that's Champions League. Let's get back down here to the right matches. I think that it's been surprising to me this whole time that they have been struggling a little bit. So they played interesting five at the back against Cruz Azul, with Gabriel Peck playing a right back position with Fagundes in front of him, which is very interesting. And Marco Royce up top. So they played a little bit different there, and they had a little bit of different lineup, and they came out 1-1 and lost on penalties. And then, of course, they had that first match in League's Cup against, that's last year's League's Cup. This is weird. Google's being weird. Where they beat Tijuana 5-2, which is what, this is why I expected us to do well, because in that match, Gabriel Peck scored, Paintsil had two goals. They were both pretty great. Marco Roy scored, and Nascimento had a penalty. So again, they had Royce playing on the right in that time with Fagundes on the left, Nascimento starting up top, and then Peck and Paintsil on the wing. So they're a dangerous team moving forward. I don't think we can take anything for granted that they're doing. We didn't beat, you know, we barely beat Tijuana. We barely beat Santos Laguna. They dominated
both those teams. 26 shots.
Still.
You literally said we had every stat.
Yeah, right, right. But
we didn't barely beat them.
We barely beat them. I mean, but
you know soccer. It's not always just the score.
Right. But LA dominated them as well. I mean, they gave up. They gave up that game.
We're two matches away from 7-0 against Cruz Azul.
Mm-hmm. I know. I want to see us score more goals against other teams. That's why, and I'm worried about LA
Galaxy. They have
a more potent offense than we do in terms of player quality right now with our injuries.
All right, then what's your prediction?
2-1 LA.
It's gonna be 2-1, 2-1, 2-1.
Yeah.
For our last three matches.
Yeah.
What's our next match after that? Do we have a week off?
I don't know.
I'm trying to look. Let's see who goes first. That might change my prediction. Minnesota on the 16th. So that's 6 days. So it's basically a week, but a day matters within a week.
And Minnesota is the team just ahead of us in the standings. If we can win both these matches, we would get to, we would tie, we'd be tied with Minnesota for third place.
Well, that'll be interesting because that match will be 3 days likely before we play in the League's Cup. But for LA Galaxy, I think that both they and us as players are going to come swinging in because we're riding high in confidence. I think our depth is going to overwhelm them. I think there's going to be a little bit of rotation. I think it'll be a shutout. I think it'll be 2-0.
That'd be cool. I'd love it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Singing this song.
That's true. So I think we should get some thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you want to thank?
I'd like to thank Danny Muzovsky for scoring a late goal so that we advanced.
I was going more towards like our listeners for listening and they should subscribe.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, shout out to Ultras, Cedar and Dan and Alex Diaz. Yeah. You can listen to the Ultras episodes. I think we're going to record on Sunday with a couple of them. We will see. Depends on game time and stuff like that. And what availability, but I've been enjoying their episodes, and I think it's given us a good chance to have episodes come out when really congested schedule in terms of games and stuff where we can't record all the time. So it's been cool getting to hear their opinions and join our Discord. Join our Patreon like they did, like the ad said earlier.
Yeah, your ad.
Yeah, I was talking.
Yeah. So, and please, obviously, if you have the time to rate us.
Yeah.
We're at episode 130 already.
I know, it's crazy, huh?
We started in 2022 together.
And we're technically, I think, further than that because some of the Ultras episodes are like specials and not the first few are specials and not.
That's true. So we're probably at like 132.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah. It seems great. It's a lot. 130. And then typically let's record for an hour and it's 2 hours later. Right. So that's like almost 2 months together, yeah, like consistently if you add all the minutes.
I like it. Good. Not enough time. Come back. Have you got a job in San Diego?
I don't know, dude. Dude, San Diego is pretty awesome.
I bet.
Not going to lie. Yeah. Although I'm having FOMO because there's nothing like the PNW in the summer.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
I love crispy cold weather. I love dark, crispy. I grew up in literally downtown Seattle my whole entire life, but it is not, I'm not as affected by the heat. Like, I've gotten used to it. Like, before, if it was like an 85 degree day, you're like dead, right? Like, fuck this. Yeah. Let me get into AC. Like, sun. Now I don't even really notice it until I'm like, oh my God, I'm kind of sweaty. Anyway, it's been great down here, but yeah, I miss just walking to the stadium. I miss just.
It actually rained yesterday morning until it got sunny. So it was kind of fun to have it be nice and cold. And then we got sun for the game.
I miss rain so badly. Like, you have no fucking idea. It hasn't rained since early March, mid-March.
Jesus.
No, I'm sure it has, but I'm used to just being wet. And they'll get like morning mist kind of rain.
Mm. Yeah, we really haven't had much. We had a couple days in June and maybe a day in July, but it was like 30 straight days with less than 0.1 inches of rain.
Hmm.
So yeah, we haven't been getting it here either. It's been a pretty beautiful summer.
Still pretty green though, I'm sure. Cause there's,
of course,
that's, I think that's what visually is fucking with me. It's just not a lot of green.
Well, at a time.
It is. I'm not going to say where to find me because honestly, this is where you're going to find me. Aaron is Scuttlebutt.
Maybe in the Discord.
That's true. I poop like everybody else. I should make sure I get on the Discord when I'm sitting there on my phone.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's fun to do.
It is fun to do.
You can get me at Legal Minded Punk on all social media and on the Discord.
I was trying to fit a duty joke in that too, but
it's your duty.
It's your duty to do. God, take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.